Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Well, obviously, Santorum had a big night. This could slingshot him and revive his campaign. I thought he had a lukewarm acceptance speech. I think he needs to actually work on that. Gingrich had a terrible night, and I thought his speech was even worse. The mocking, the tone that he had towards Romney. Yes, Romney had a bad night, but Gingrich had a worse night. That was his home court. He can't win in Alabama or Mississippi. Where can he win? It had the tone of a man who knows it's out of his reach now, but he wants to stay in there. He wants to settle some scores. Romney had a bad night, but he obviously doesn't, as he said, it's an away game, and he showed he can't play in the South, at least among Republicans. He can, obviously, he will in the general election. And Ron Paul is much less of a factor now than he was a few months ago, and I think he's beginning to really fade.
There's political analyst Charles Krauthammer with his assessment of the state of the GOP field after this week's primaries. What we're doing on the Republican side of things is where we start this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. So we'll talk about what's been heard on television and radio in terms of news talk information, starting with Megyn Kelly on Fox. With Mitt Romney, they talk about Newt Gingrich's comments that Romney's a weak front runner.
You say it's a delicate count at this point, but of course your rivals for the GOP nomination are pointing to the fact that he came in third in Alabama and in Mississippi, states in which you were expected to do well and might possibly have even won, but did not. I want to show you a little bit of what Newt Gingrich said.
I think, frankly, Governor Romney for the front runner was remarkably weak tonight. Two out of every three delegates chosen in Mississippi and Alabama will be either for Santorum or Gingrich. They won't be for Romney. So phase one of this campaign has to be, is Romney inevitable? Because everybody in the media told us he was over and over and over again. I think with each passing week, he looks a little bit less inevitable.
Your response?
Well, if I'm a weak front runner, what does that make Newt Gingrich? I'm glad that I've got, I think, about twice as many delegates as anyone else in the process. But this is ultimately a question about who can get the support of the Republican Party and independents to be able to win the White House. And I'm very pleased with the fact that over the last several contests, I've earned a million more votes that has either Senator Santorum or Speaker Gingrich from the Republicans in these contests. And the reason I've done that is because my message about strengthening our economy, putting people back to work, and seeing rising incomes, lowering gas prices, this economic message is connecting with voters across the country. That's why I'm leading in that vote tally, and why I believe I'll continue to lead in that vote tally and become the nominee.
You know the counterargument to that. Your rivals pointed out, your critics pointed out, half of the voters in Alabama and Mississippi said you were not conservative enough. The AP headline this morning was Romney's losses in Alabama and Mississippi underscore a stark reality. The core of his party does not want him.
Well, I'm sorry. They have to go back and look at some other states that actually are kind of important. Let's say Florida, for instance, where I won, and Michigan, and Ohio, and Nevada, and New Hampshire. And the list goes on. Last night, by the way, they're forgetting there were a couple of other contests, including Hawaii, where I won. Oh, and by the way, last night I got more delegates than anybody else. So this is a process of becoming the nominee. We're pursuing that in an intelligent way. And conservatives, when you ask in these prior elections, who as conservatives did you vote? I won the conservative vote. Some who are very conservative may not be yet in my camp, but they will be when I become the nominee, when I face Barack Obama. Because, again, what the nation wants is someone who understands the economy, not an economic lightweight. I mean, Senator Santorum's a nice guy, but he does not understand how the economy works. He's never had a job in the real economy. You have to understand this economy to be able to fix it.
You've suggested that he, just this week, is less conservative than you are, Santorum is, at least economically, when it comes to fiscal matters, that he is not to your right on those issues. He apparently wasn't too happy with that statement and went on Laura Ingraham's radio show and said this.
It's funny coming from Mitt Romney, who donated to Planned Parenthood and went to fundraisers for Planned Parenthood. This is one of the most liberal guys we've ever had, and for him to go out there and attack me as being a moderate is just truly laughable.
Your thoughts, sir?
Well, first of all, as you pointed out, I was talking about his economic record. He voted to raise the debt ceiling five times without compensating cost cuts. He voted, as a matter of fact, to put money into Planned Parenthood. Millions of dollars into Planned Parenthood. So his record is one of not being as fiscally conservative as it might be. And by the way, it's kind of interesting hearing him say those things when just 4 years ago on the same program, he said to Laura he was supporting my candidacy for president because I'm a conservative, a real conservative, he said.
Up next, more opinion, reaction, conversation. The week's primaries are in the focus on the countdown.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours. All of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
At Quicken Loans, we close many of our home loans in 30 days or less. But if you work with someone other than Quicken Loans, you might be dealing with a lender that takes a lot longer. Here's an analogy. I ordered a pizza 4 hours ago that should have arrived in 30 minutes or less. Think of my cold, unappetizing pizza as a mortgage from a lender that doesn't care about closing loans quickly.
Here's your pizza, dude.
You should have been here a lot sooner.
Who do you think I am? Quicken Loans?
The choice is clear. A mortgage from a lender that takes forever to close your loan, or a piping hot mortgage from Quicken Loans that arrives fresh at your door in as quick as 30 days or less. One more way, Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an incredible 3.875%. APR, 4.17%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or go to quickenloans.com.
Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
The Department of Defense commemorates the 60th anniversary of the Korean War. We are proud to present the following stories of those who served when their nation called. U.S. Air Force Staff Sergeant Thomas Stevens, 371st Bomb Squadron.
The MiG-15, being a jet aircraft, preyed on B-29s. B-29s, as you know, are propeller-driven and much slower. And in the day missions, they would get between the B-29 and the sun, and the gunners looking into the sun couldn't see the aircraft coming at them. So when I got there, they had already started flying night missions. You might ask, well, how do you see a target at night? You don't, is the answer to that. And then we used something called Shoran. Basically, it was an electronic beam that was put up from either side of the Korean Peninsula by, I believe, naval ships. They calibrated that electronic beam so finely that where the beams crossed was the point at which the B-29 would release the bombs.
See more hero stories at koreanwar.defense.gov.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brings me to a shopping mall. Of course, when it comes to shopping for car insurance, most people go to GEICO. I mean, with all the discounts they offer, why would you shop anywhere else? There are discounts for complete and defensive driving courses, multi-policy discounts, and discounts for being accident-free. You know, this mall is a real maze. I think I passed that candle store about 5 times.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I'm Doug Steffen, focusing on the talk radio world. Here is McGraw-Milhaven on his radio program talking to ABC's Aaron Katursky. They discuss whether there are any real surprises from this week's primaries.
How much of this was a shocker and how much of this was planned? I know the polls were kind of had them all neck and neck. How much of this was a shock?
Well, pieces were, pieces weren't. If you look at the exit polls, the electorate in this state and in Mississippi, 83% of voters identified themselves as evangelical or born-again Christians. That seems like a natural constituency for Rick Santorum. And yet, he largely split that vote with Newt Gingrich and even a little bit with Mitt Romney. The overwhelming issue for voters, remember, evangelical voters, was electability, wanting somebody who can best beat President Obama. On that score, Mitt Romney was the winner. It just wasn't enough to overcome lingering doubts about whether he's conservative enough. And on that score, it was either Santorum or Gingrich. But McGraw, had Santorum or Gingrich dropped out ahead of time, had there been only one alternative to choose from, the night could have been a romp.
Yeah, as for the numbers, there's not a knockout blow. Romney can't knock out Santorum, and Santorum and Gingrich can't knock out Romney. So either way, delegate count or not, vote, it was a virtual tie. And so does anybody see this changing at all? I mean, this is just a World War I, slugfest until somebody gets the right number of delegates.
You know, it's a great point because the night did nothing to clarify the race at all. I mean, Mitt Romney's aides now believe he cannot lock up the nomination, delegate-wise, for another couple of months. And so the long slog continues. If anything, things got a little bit murkier because as Rick Santorum pushes to have a one-on-one fight with Romney, Newt Gingrich told us he's not going away. And if you look at the voters and his supporters, he does have an argument to make. Rick Santorum's support last night, he gets most of it, but he also gets it from his traditional base, from religious voters, from those who are evangelical, very conservative, anti-abortion voters. Those groups were abundant, but that's about it for Rick Santorum's support. Newt Gingrich's supporters are far different. They're ones who say that the federal deficit is the most important issue, the ones who say they want a candidate with the experience in politics to be president. And so Gingrich does have an argument to make that even if he does drop out, his voters are not necessarily Santorum voters.
It's interesting. It's so many interesting facets to all of this. If anybody looks bad, Santorum looks good. He won. Romney did okay in the South, even though he didn't win. Nobody was expecting him. But it was Gingrich's backyard, and he failed to win two Southern states.
And that's why the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party said it's time for Newt Gingrich to go. He said, if you can't convince your neighbors, how are you going to convince anybody else? And there does seem to be a sense among some that if you're not going to, nominate Romney, if you do want a true conservative alternative, you got to pick one, because as long as they continue to split the vote, it's hard to see how, Romney doesn't walk away with this, even though it may take a little bit longer. Gingrich says he's not dividing conservatives. He's helping them, McGraw, by trying to push aside Mitt Romney.
Here is the radio man John Phillips with Matt Welch from Reason magazine. They talk about Mr. Gingrich staying in the race while Mitt Romney continues to win more delegates than any of the other candidates. Newt says he's staying in. Do you believe him?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Running for president's great. Don't you want to run for president?
No, I don't. I don't want to spend half my life in Iowa.
That's true. However, it sets you up for the rest of your career, right?
That's true.
Mike Huckabee, who the hell thought that he was going to have a career? But now he has one. I mean, what, Sarah Palin.
She's working for this company now.
Yeah, whatever. It's a great launching pad to whatever comes next. You make the final four, why not? You got a whole career in front of you. And, Newt probably wants to settle any number of just ridiculous scores out there, and so why not? He's going to push it to the end. The problem for him, obviously, besides arithmetic, is that there's no, and there never has been, any real rationale for his campaign. Even in states that he does well, it's more regional affinity. He's just basically done well in the South. There's never been, in exit polls, like a block of people who are like, hell yes, Newt Gingrich is for me, in the way that you get with Santorum among especially social conservatives, or Romney, the kind of electability caucus, or even Ron Paul, when he does well. There's a certain type of person who gravitates toward him. There's no real, Gingrich person out there. He's just trying to run this anti-elite media campaign and God knows what else. But he'll drag it out, I think, to the end. Why not?
And Matt, you know that this primary game is a game of acquiring delegates. That's what it's about. Without the delegates, you don't win the nomination, and there's no path to victory in Tampa. And you look at these primaries. You look at what happened last night with the two Southern primaries, Hawaii and American Samoa. You looked at what happened over the weekend when you had the caucus in Kansas, Wyoming, and I believe it was the Virgin Islands and Guam. And even though Santorum gets the headlines, even though he wins Kansas or he wins Mississippi, he wins Alabama, Romney comes out of each one of these evenings with more delegates, and Romney is just moving right on to Tampa, isn't he?
He's much closer to winning the nomination outright than he was before last night. I mean, Santorum had a good night, but he doesn't need good nights. That's not going to do it. He needs great nights. He needs to win California, imagine the unthinkable there, to have any prayer at this.
So what do you think is next? We'll have some more primaries, and we'll take that apart bit by bit on the Talk Radio Countdown in a moment.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95, so get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increased, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original Biomat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomat can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomat comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at Biomat.com, spelled Biomat.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit Biomat.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Yes, this is the place that people come around the country and around the world, at DougStephan.com, to hear what talk radio and talk television focus is. And that includes the primaries. From MSNBC, Chris Jansing and Richard Liu talk about what lies ahead for all the candidates.
Mitt Romney says he has the math, Rick Santorum the momentum, and Newt Gingrich is fighting calls to drop out. Where are we going from here?
A lot happening here with Rick Santorum wins in Mississippi and Alabama. Chris, March just got a little madder. Missouri, Puerto Rico, and Illinois vote early this month. Mitt Romney needs a solid win in these areas, obviously, because later two southern states, Louisiana and Texas, will challenge Romney. Let's talk Illinois first. Millions of dollars are already planned for ads. Ugly is on in Illinois. Local polls show a tight race right now as well, which is why some like Politico call Illinois the new Ohio. It's not a Romney lockup, but delegate math favors him. And math is why Puerto Rico is important. Newt Gingrich in that territory, in an uncommon situation, interviewed the territory's governor for a news network last year. And Gingrich, a territory supports a territory vote on statehood, and this could help him. But the governor has endorsed Romney, and Santorum is already on the ground. Now, Romney may need the likes of territories to offset his evangelical problem. Yesterday, we showed you how Romney did not win a primary when more than half the voters were evangelical. In Romney's Mississippi and Alabama losses, that is held true. Both states had over 75% evangelical voters, 80% in Mississippi's case. Those are new highs as Romney lost. Now, let's look at three upcoming evangelical tests. Missouri, Louisiana, and Texas all had evangelical voters in 2008 above 50%, topping off at 60 there. Now, if this year's trend holds true, Romney loses here. Texas would be a major loss, obviously, with over 155 delegates. The total delegates of the five battles discussed is a huge chunk. When we take a look at that, that is over 30% of the amount that is needed to take the nomination. One last one for you, Chris, as we look forward. Pennsylvania, a new Quinnipiac poll has Santorum beating Romney by 14%.
Speaking at a GOP event in Florida, Ann Coulter responded to a question about the Republican candidates heading toward a brokered convention.
Some people think we could have a brokered convention and an outlier could get the nomination. What's your attitude about that?
Yes, and one of the ones most heavily promoting that is Sarah Palin, who has suggested herself as the choice. I think as long as it's between us girls, I've been observing something about it. I don't think it's likely to happen. I don't know what these people are cheering for. I mean, as I wrote in a column a few weeks back, who is this dream candidate we're hoping to get from the convention? Because Rick Perry used to be the dream candidate. Could we see him in a debate first? And just a more corporate problem is, I think our party, and particularly our movement, a conservative movement, does have more of a problem with con men and charlatans than the Democratic Party. The incentives seem to be set up to allow people, you know, as long as you have a band of a few million fanatical followers, you can make money. That doesn't, the Democrats have managed to figure out how not to do that. I mean, Dennis Kucinich, he's a nut. He has fanatical followers. He doesn't get a show on MSNBC. He doesn't have any kind of gig on MSNBC. He's roadkill. Howard Dean doesn't get a show. Howard Dean was fairly respectable for a Democrat. No. You embarrass us and drag this thing out. You are finished in the Democratic Party. So, you know, you always hear people talking about these pledges, the no tax pledge, the pro-life pledge, and there's a lot of dispute about it, and I understand politicians not wanting to sign a bunch of pledges. You know, the politician will tell you what he believes. Vote for the politician and trust him. But the one pledge I support, and I think I'm going to draft it up, is for all Republican nominees for president, I want them to sign a pledge saying, if I lose the nomination, I pledge I will not take a gig with Fox News or write a book.
Had enough politics? Okay, we'll shift our attention to what's going on in Afghanistan right after this on The Countdown.
If you're living with diabetes and have Medicare or private insurance, here is some great news. Call United States Medical Supply today, and we'll send you the smallest glucose meter in the world, absolutely free. So small, it fits right on the bottle of Strips. And if you call now, we'll also send you this stylish, full-featured meter at no charge. That's two free meters. You can keep one in your pocket and leave the other one at home.
You can even hook it up to your computer so your doctor can track your results.
United States Medical Supply also delivers prescription medication right to my door, so I don't have to go to the drugstore anymore.
Don't let diabetes get in the way of living. Give us a call today at United States Medical Supply and get the smallest meter in the world for free. Call today.
Call 1-800-897-8374. That's 1-800-897-8374. Call 1-800-897-8374 today.
Most of the time, I brought it on myself. But who could resist the perfect burger? I promised my tummy, never again. My tummy replied, embarrassing. Then I found Digestive Advantage. It's a supplement.
Shift Digestive Advantage dual-action formulas immediately begin to target your digestive needs.
My tummy liked that.
And with continued use, the healthy probiotic gives you long-term digestive support.
My tummy loved that.
Works now and later. That's the Digestive Advantage, with formulas for gas, constipation, lactose intolerance, and intensive bowel support.
Some nights I can't get to sleep. Some nights I can't stay asleep. With Unisom, I can do both.
Unisom sleep tabs are clinically proven to help you fall asleep 33% faster and keep you asleep longer, so you get a more restful night's sleep. Made with an ingredient not found in other leading sleep aids, Unisom sleep tabs are safe and non-habit forming. Just one pill takes the uncertainty out of bedtime, giving you the sleep you need.
So I wake up ready to go.
Unisom sleep tabs. Fall asleep faster. Sleep longer.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Are you having trouble paying your mortgage? Maybe your mortgage loan is upside down or in foreclosure. Maybe the bank already foreclosed on you. Don't sit around being a victim of bank fraud. Fight back. We have the tools to help you fight back. Here's how. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN Radio Special. Order a summary audit. Find the real truth about your loan.
Maybe like me, you'll find your bank loan was paid off already. Maybe, like me, you'll find your bank defrauded you at the closing. And maybe, like me, you will go after them.
Did you know 78% of home loans in the last 10 years violated consumer credit laws? We should not let the banks get away with this fraud. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN Radio Special. Order a summary audit today and find the truth about your mortgage loan. That's InspectorAudit.com or call 855-373-4948. That's 1-855-373-4948.
Folks, Iran and the Mideast nuclear mess is already ballooning our gas prices. Whether you're struggling with food costs, which are being blown up by gas costs now, or know that when the Mideast showdown explodes, whatever food supply you have is all you'll get because of huge panic demand. eFoods Direct Family Packs are the answer. Now, the most affordable, best food is saving you up to 50% compared to other poor quality food companies. The new Alex Jones Quick Fix Family Packs save you so much money, the savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. No matter what effect the Mideast crisis or the crashing economy have, you'll have food as delicious tonight as 25 years from now. Order now for 50% savings and free shipping on these affordable family packs. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Welcome back to the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Second half hour starting with attention on Afghanistan. Here's host Jimmy Cefalo with Congressman Alan West of Florida. They talk about the latest on the civilian shootings there.
This is a horrible incident, and it's hard to, I mean, it's tragic in so many ways. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, first of all, you know, I spent 2.5 years in Afghanistan, and I was actually in Kandahar province, and I'm very familiar with Panjwai district, which is downtown Taliban central. And this staff sergeant was working with a program called a village stability operation, and I got a chance to visit one of those operations last summer up in Helmand province. And you're talking about, you know, about 15 American soldiers, special operators, who are living right in the middle with the Afghan civilians, trying to work with the Afghans to help their local security. So that's kind of the environment I want people to understand that this staff sergeant was in. You cannot, in any way, shape, or form, condone what was happening. It was a horrific action that occurred. But when you think about the 10-plus years that American soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines have been there, you have to also remember the impeccable sacrifices and the things that they have done to help to get Afghanistan to a situation where they never could have been. And when you continue to hear about the Taliban and how they are going to, you know, retribution and how they're going to intensify their attacks, we got to remember, we're talking about people who gun down little girls that are going to school,
right,
and who throw acid on children trying to get an education.
Yeah.
So we don't need to entertain any thoughts about turning the staff sergeant over to the Afghan people. We have a military justice system that will take care of this incident. But also remember, I think reports say that he has a wife and two children. And once upon a time, this four-time combat duty-serving soldier was considered a hero by his children. And now think about some of the nasty things that people don't want to say about him.
Yeah, I know. I've thought about some of those things, too, Congressman. It's just a tragedy, as you say.
It is.
Will this expedite us pulling out of Afghanistan? Do you think it should?
Well, I think, you know, Jimmy, to be very honest, you know, coming off this, you know, the whole Koran burning fiasco, I believe that we're losing a bit of a moral high ground in Afghanistan, and we are starting to do a little bit more appeasement to people that are truly, you know, barbaric in nature, some of them. And I don't know if you can ever make a free operating democracy work in a country that has never had a sense of being a country in the first place. I think that we got too focused on nation building and occupation style warfare, and we really lost the ball as far as going after the enemy. So I would say that right now we should relook our operational objectives there in that combat theater of operations, and we need to focus more on, you know, the counterterrorism, the strike operations, because I think that's the way that we should go. And also, you got to understand that you will not have a secure situation in Afghanistan until you deal with the sanctuaries of Pakistan.
Host Rebecca Marshall and Steve Leader talked to legal analyst Liz Wheel about Afghanistan demanding the soldier be turned over to them to stand trial there.
Is there a legal precedent on how this case out of Fort Lewis should be handled?
Well, unfortunately, there is. I mean, there have been other massacres like this, the most recent in 2009. Now, that was in Fort Hood, Texas, Major Hassan, the American the Army psychiatrist. So that was here in on the U.S. soil. But there have been, you know, in Vietnam, unfortunately, there was an incident in 1968 where a lieutenant killed 22 villagers. And, you know, this, though, is the most horrible, allegedly, this military guy that has happened since really the Vietnam War on foreign soil. Now, our military is already saying that he would be tried in a military tribunal, subject to death row, which the president would have to sign off on.
So there's going to be no jurisdictional tug of war between the United States and Afghanistan?
I'm sure there will be. I'm sure that the Afghanis, and they already are saying that they want to try him in an Afghan court. But because he's an American citizen and under military jurisdiction, then I think the Americans will prevail and be able to try him in a military tribunal.
How common is the death penalty in a military tribunal?
There are six people, I believe, on the death penalty row from a military court. But again, the president himself has to sign off on that death warrant. And if he is convicted, it is with those other six people in military death row, he would be, I believe, the killer of the most people, the most number of people of all of them on death row.
What role could politics play in this?
Well, I think you got it right in the sense that the Afghanis can come forward and say, look, we want this. They were our people that were killed. And of course, then it gets into the politics of it. But I can't really imagine that we are going to step back from that and say, okay, Afghanis, you try them under your military, your criminal jurisdiction. He's our soldier. And yes, the victims were Afghanis, and yes, they should have a chance, those families should have a chance, if it comes to a sentencing time, to be able to allocute, just as they would be able to in a American courtroom, to allocute about, you know, the impact that this had on them and their lives and their families. That would be certainly appropriate. But he's our guy, he's our military person, we should handle him that way.
All right, one more question. What about this alleged traumatic brain injury that he may have had that may have impeded his thought?
Sure. And a good defense lawyer, he'll get a good defense lawyer, he's entitled to that, will possibly make an insanity defense. He didn't know right from wrong because of this trauma, and that is absolutely a defense that I think most defense lawyers would go with that one. Pretty hard to imagine any other kind of defense. You turn yourself in.
Okay, a couple of issues there. 800-510-8255 should you like to be heard later on. Right now, though, we'll focus on the cost you're paying for gasoline. Stand by for that on the countdown.
The war had been gone for 2 years, and I got the calling. I got the calling to join the service and support the boys over there.
Thousands of American troops have come home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, suffering the effects of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries.
I never thought that I would have PTSD. I thought that I had enough coping skills.
I don't think anybody who goes into combat could ever honestly say that they're not different when they come home.
What you take as a simple thing is not so simple for me anymore.
I'm going to have my good days and my bad days, and I really don't like those bad days.
I would say to those people that are out there, don't brush this aside and don't count us out.
Help the USO support these troops and their families. Hear more of their stories at usoinvisiblewounds.org. The wounds are invisible. The stories are real.
I'm David Cordani, President and CEO of Cigna. Since 1995, we've been a proud sponsor of the March of Dimes March for Babies. March for Babies gives our company an opportunity to support families and our community. Together, we can take steps to help moms and babies around the country. Join us and the 20,000 other companies who are walking together for stronger, healthier babies. Start your team at marchforbabies.org.
At Quicken Loans, we provide you with state-of-the-art online tools, like our app for your smartphone, MyQL Mobile. This means that if you work with a mortgage lender other than Quicken Loans, you might be dealing with someone who doesn't use state-of-the-art online tools. Let me demonstrate. Can I upload my mortgage documents with your mobile app?
No, sorry. We don't offer mobile apps. I didn't realize appetizers were mobile.
Are you using a typewriter?
Why, yes, I am. We just upgraded from Carrier Pigeon.
So I take it you don't offer your clients the latest and greatest technology.
Who do you think I am? Quicken Loans?
Industry-leading tools like MyQL Mobile to get you through your loan process with speed and ease. One more way Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an incredible 3.875%. APR, 4.17%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or go to quickenloans.com.
Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
The IRS is one of the most powerful entities in America. They can contact your employer, embarrass you, and take a large part of your paycheck. Your personal bank accounts can be levied, and your life turned upside down. If you owe back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, Ameristar Tax Centers has a special free consultation just for you. With proven experience, our enrolled agents, previous IRS agents, know how to get you maximum results. Ameristar Tax Professionals are licensed to represent you before the IRS. We'll contact the IRS immediately for you, stop the collection activity, and get you instant help to relieve you from this burden. Our customer service record is unmatched, and you'll appreciate our low fees. We guarantee not to charge you a penny unless we can help, and you'll discover your tax relief options on the first free call. Call 800-281-9981. 800-281-9981. Don't wait. Call 800-281-9981. 800-281-9981.
Man, do you believe these prices for gasoline? Good Lord. Here's Laura Ingram talking to John Stossel about how much blame the president ought to get for these record-high prices.
All right, John, let's talk about this hot issue of gas prices. In Washington, D.C., let me tell you, I'd love to have a $3.81 per gallon gas price. It's way higher here. But you say that this price of 4-plus in some metropolitan areas is just fine. That's what the market is offering today.
The market gets to decide. I think the president's right. There's not much he can do about it. He might affect it a penny or two if he hadn't sent all these signals that we're not going to drill anywhere. But it's a world market, so what America does doesn't make that much of a difference.
And President Obama, though, John, on the issue of Keystone and slow permitting in the Gulf and no drilling in Alaska, and Newt Gingrich says that if he had opened up those areas, then we would have, I think the figure is like 2.1 million barrels more, I believe, a day in America. And obviously it takes time to do that, but that obviously would lower prices over time.
Maybe a penny or two, but not a huge amount. The world market makes such a big difference. And I just, for perspective, one thing we should think about, and this will take me a second to do it, in some ways it's quite reasonable what we're paying even now. I mean, I'd love to get rid of the big gas taxes, but think about what it takes for them to get us this gasoline. They've got to suck it out of the ground in horrible places where they might be shot at. The drills now go 7 miles into the earth. They turn corners, go sideways. It's put in pipelines that cost billions of dollars, put in ships that cost hundreds of millions, refined into three types of gasoline, put in a truck that costs $100,000, put in a gas station where they have all this expensive equipment so we don't blow ourselves up. And it still, in most gas stations, costs less per ounce than the bottled water they sell in those gas stations.
Yeah, but Stossel, how much do you drive? You fill up your car?
I have my minivan, and I hate paying the $70 it costs, but if government were bringing us gasoline, it would cost $40 a gallon. I'm impressed with what these oil companies are doing.
Do you think Newt Gingrich is playing a little game here then with the 250 signs and holding up the gas pump sign?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it might be working, though.
He also wants to take us to the moon.
Radio host Ray Appleton has on his program Darren Good from Politico.com. And again, the focus on the president. How much influence does he have, actually, over the price you're paying?
Many people are quick to blame the president for the price of gas. Does a president, any president, have anything to do with the price of gas directly or even indirectly?
Not really. I mean, I think that the president is accurate when he says that gas prices are very complex. Global oil prices are very complex, are based upon a variety of factors, including things that no administration can really do much about, growing demand for oil from places like China, India. You've got unrest in the Middle East, which has led to fear and speculation, which has, led to prices spiking. So there really isn't a whole lot that you can do. I mean, there's nothing. You can argue that can you tap into something like the strategic petroleum reserve and send a message. Republicans say that, well, if we were to drill here or there, we would at least send a message that might reduce speculation. But all in all, there's not a whole lot that you can do. But, you know, he is in office and people are paying more. And so they're going to blame who is in office.
Can the president do anything about the immediate price of gas? And you mentioned the strategic oil reserve. But other than that, what can be done?
Well, I think the strategic reserve, I think, is certainly one thing. I think that you can send certain signals to market speculators by having the Federal Trade Commission and others look into the problem. But whenever people like FTC have done these kind of speculation probes, they really haven't found anything. Again, Republicans will argue that if you at least say that we're going to open up X amount of more oil online, and that could reduce speculation. But the president has been very aggressive of late in touting his energy record, saying that actually we are opening up a lot of waters. We are opening up a lot of federal land. There's a lot of waters and land that we've opened up that industry hasn't used yet. And so he's been doing two things. One, he's been going after Republicans and saying, look, you guys are out there like Newt Gingrich saying that I'm going to reduce gas prices down to a certain amount. That's not realistic. You can't do that. While at the same time, he's saying, look, I am, however, doing things like opening up drilling, like increasing fuel efficiency standards, reducing oil use. I am doing things that will help in the long run, but there's not an instant fix to this problem.
What about the recent pipeline that the president scuttled or at least put on the back burner? Would that have done anything, even symbolic, to help us out right now?
Again, you could argue that does that send some kind of signal to the market that we're serious about using more oil from North America? Possible. As you know, there's so many arguments on either side of that. I mean, it is true that if we do use, you know, there is an argument that could be made that if you use more from Canada, then, you know, you're using less from OPEC. Another argument, though, is that the pipeline is going to relieve a surplus of oil that's sitting there in Cushing, Oklahoma. And that oil is not really subject to a lot of volatility that's happening on the global market. If you have that pipeline there, not only are you going to bring in oil from Canada, but you're also going to relieve that surplus, that flood of oil sitting there in Cushing. You're going to send that to refineries. And then that oil is going to be subject to volatility. And some argue that that would actually raise oil prices. That would raise gas price.
Host Chris Holman with Greg Laskowski from GasBuddy.com. They talk about the reasons behind the price of gasoline, if there's something new there. And what about relief?
Greg, explain a little bit about what's going on and why gas prices are soaring.
Well, the big picture really has a lot of uncertainty. And until we know what's going to be happening in the Middle East, that's the main reason why crude oil prices have been as high as they've been. Now, just yesterday, they did drop a little bit on a report out of China that said China's economy may be slowing down and their crude oil demand could diminish. But that's just a brief respite in what we still think is going to be a long, rocky road. Until we see whether there's going to be a war between Iran and Israel, I think we can only expect crude oil prices to continue this upward climb.
And of course, that all relates to the cut of supply of the crude for the world.
Yes.
So supply drives price up when it's lacking. So tell me a little bit about what happens in these consumer markets. $4 seems to be a magic number. Changes habits, things like that.
It certainly is, and we saw this 4 years ago when the national average set a record price at $4.12 a gallon. It caused an awful lot of people to rethink exactly what they're doing and to seriously cut back, not only on driving but on other spending. Somebody or a couple of economists have said that for every penny that gasoline goes up, it takes $1 billion out of the economy that would otherwise have been spent on other things. So this is hurting an awful lot of people.
Yeah, it certainly is. And you see it going yet further. We've broken that $4 ceiling now. And do you think we're actually looking at $5? That's what's keeping
people
up.
No, well, that's not a question we would want to. We don't want to.
Amanda's already having trouble sleeping, Greg.
I don't blame her. You know, unfortunately, some cities, I think, may approach $5 gasoline. New York, L.A., and Chicago among them. But I think most markets in the U.S. will still be closer to, you know, $4.25 or $4.50.
Coming up next, bank stress tests on the Talk Radio Countdown.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Something new on the countdown. Bank stress tests, designed by the Federal Reserve to show how banks will withstand yet another financial shock if there is one. Here's NBC reporter Dylan Radigan with financial analyst Matt Taibbi. They talk about banks failing the Fed's stress test. And if the problem isn't that banks are too big to fail, it's that they're too crooked to fail.
Let's talk a little bit about the new information. What do you point to in your reporting to, as evidence of your assertion that Bank of America is too crooked to fail?
Well, what I really did is I just sort of went back through the whole history of this, recent history of this company, and I just sort of compiled all the things that they've been involved with. And I put that side by side with all the different forms of government support that the bank has received. And I think most people think, yeah, they got the TARP bailout, they got the $20 billion to buy Merrill Lynch, but they don't realize that the government support continued on after that.
To this day, they've
got billions of dollars in low or zero interest loans from the Fed, part of that $16 trillion in emergency lending we found out about last year. Last year, Bank of America shifted trillions of dollars worth of derivatives, very risky, toxic derivatives, from Merrill's books to its own depository side, essentially putting all of us on the hook for some of its most dangerous bets. And then again, we have this, the thing with the stress test, which is essentially an official government endorsement of the widespread accounting fraud that you talk about with all of these companies, and they're all guilty of it equally. And essentially what this boils down to is that we're supporting these banks continually with cheap cash.
But the counter-narrative is, to whether it's your report, is, well, no, we have to support these banks because they are the lifeblood of our economy. We don't have a choice.
Right, right. But I think that's a self-defeating argument. These companies, what happened after 2008 is all these companies were in trouble. They were all doing essentially the same thing. They were dumping these toxic assets on customers all over the world knowingly, knowing this stuff was going to blow up. And when it did blow up, what did we do? We went in and we gave them a whole bunch of money. We made them all well again, and we didn't insist that they change. We didn't go over and take over the companies and fire the people responsible. So we endorsed all this bad behavior, and now we see is that companies like Bank of America just continue in these sorts of behaviors. Not only are they involved with these fraudulent sales of mortgage-backed securities, but they're also involved with things like municipal bid rigging and gaming the LIBOR system. And, there's all these different activities that these banks are involved with, and yet we still support them year after year.
Talk host Bill Carroll with Don Kopecky from Bloomberg News about how the bank stress test will work.
What are these stress tests in reality? What is it really about?
The Federal Reserve decided to test the 19 largest U.S. banks against projecting that if the economy were to go into another severe recession, and it looked at 25 different variables that it stressed the bank's performance against, and it was if unemployment rose to a peak of 13%, if home prices dropped by another 20%, if GDP dropped by 8%. So there were 25 of those different, really like Armageddon type of economic scenarios, projecting if the U.S. went into another deep recession close to a depression.
Well, until you got to the GDP, it didn't sound like Armageddon to me. I mean, it's not impossible those things, those numbers could happen.
No, it's not impossible. Economists certainly didn't see the 2008 crisis coming. A lot of analysts are saying that they thought the Fed's test was a little too onerous. But then again, no one saw the 2008. Everyone would have thought you were crazy if in 2006 you would have stressed the bank's capital against the economic scenarios we had in 2008. So the Fed, is trying to be cautious and prudent and trying to make the U.S. banking system look like it's financially healthy to international markets. And by and large, that's what the market seemed to think the Fed did yesterday in releasing as much detail as it did to the market.
But how do they actually do that? Okay, they've got those numbers. How do you test how a bank would perform against those numbers?
They look at their portfolios. They look at their mortgage. Like, they'll take their mortgage portfolio and look at the loans. Look at the loans and where they're based. How many loans are based in Florida? How much of the bank's loan portfolio are 30-year fixed loans, and how much of it is jumbo mortgages? How many of the loans are underwater where the borrower owes more than the home is worth? Because those loans are typically more risky, have higher default rates, and significantly higher losses than, say, a 30-year mortgage that your parents have held for 20 years or 25 years and nearly have paid off.
Right. And how realistic is the test? I mean, how many of us have money and mortgages with these banks? The ones they tested.
It's a significant, I don't have the exact percentages off the top of my head, but it covers a significant percentage of the U.S. consumer.
The vast majority, right? We're talking about
the vast majority.
We have more about this information and other items of interest in this hour of the Countdown at DougStephan.com.